Appreciate the prayer. Ask your continued interest in your prayer. So much that Brother Thomas said in a practical way of listening and laying to heart and taking these things, because I do have a very practical message today. But all of the lessons that we would preach regarding practical matters are based upon the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The wonderful truth that God sent His Son to save us from our sins, that we are redeemed by His blood, that we are kept by His power, that we are preserved in Christ Jesus, that someday we will be with Him in glory because of what Christ has done for us. All of those things are the reasons why we would take heed to His word and follow in His way. So turn to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 is where we'll begin this morning. The first two verses particularly is what we have on our heart. And I've preached on this a number of times, but here lately in studying and considering just what it means in a practical sense, I want to deal with some things that I haven't dealt with before. So Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just read the first two verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. With all that the Father sent Jesus to do, John 19:30 says, Jesus said, "It is finished." He said, "I came down not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me." And on the cross, He said, "It's finished." So what He was telling us is that what the Father sent Him to do is finished. He has accomplished that. And so we, out of thanksgiving in our hearts and a desire to give glory to His name, should follow in that way which is pleasing to Him each day. So here's he's talking about here. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, what he's talking about is how we go about living our life. How are we to live our life? You know what? He's given us instruction on how we should live our life each day, and he's making a comparison here to a runner running a race. Now, it's not a 100-yard dash. Or whatever they call it nowadays. That might be old-fashioned. But it's a marathon. It's for life. It's for as long as we draw our breath. And it even continues, even if we come to a place in this life where we're not able to get out of bed. And I want to deal with that in a little while. But it's the race that we are to run. Largely it begins with how Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount. He said in Matthew chapter 7, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." That's another illustration of telling us how we should go about living our life. With a firm foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us and His teachings, then we can build our life. We can make decisions every day. We can make our choices. We can pursue the things that we need to do. We can take care of our families. We can, whatever we want to do in life, as long as it's on the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and He loved us and gave Himself for us that we might be with Him in glory forever, then as long as those choices that we make in our life are that which brings glory to His name and honors what He's done for us, then we should pursue it with all our might. And what he's giving us here in Hebrews chapter 12 is the comparison of running a race. Well, if you're going to run a race, don't you want to be as competitive as you can be? Don't you want to try to win the prize? Okay? So, what I'm getting at is if we're going to run this race, then we ought to be wanting to do it as best we can. And so he's going to give us some instructions for preparation for the race. All right? You know, preparation is just so needful in every aspect of life. Like we've said before, if you're going to play in a concert, you want to tune your instrument before the concert. So that you can do your best during the concert. Well, if you're going to run a race, there's some preparation that you need to make so that you can do your best in running the race. All right? Now, he said, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Chapter 11 has given us a marvelous list of patriarchs of old who were faithful, who God blessed them, and by faith they were able to do great things. Okay? But he says here in chapter 12, we also are compassed about. In other words, we don't have just those. We do have those, and hallelujah for that. We do have those, but we've also got others who in our lifetime have been great encouragers, great teachers, great role models, great exhorters, great, they've just been great for us to build a life that's pleasing and helps us run this race in a better way. Aren't you thankful for the rich heritage that we enjoy as the children of God? We've had people in our lives, whether it's parents, whether it's friends, uncle, aunt, grandparents, whatever the case might be. You know, I envy folks that's got their grandparents even up in their adult years, because I never knew any of my grandparents. And when I know what a blessing that has to be.
Amen.
All right? So that cloud of witnesses, those people who have had a great influence and impact upon our life, that, you know, maybe sometimes their counsel wasn't well received. But later in life, we saw the wisdom of it. And so, you know, that's why it says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, do not depart from it. We just have to trust that. That's just God's words. That's the truth from his word, and we just have to trust that. All right? So, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Two things. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, I submit to you that both of those apply to all of us, without exception. There is something that's a weight that would hinder us in running this race, and there is a sin which does so easily beset us. Every one of us, okay? Especially me included. I'm not preaching something to you that doesn't apply to me. All right, all of this, this applies to every one of us. And I want you to notice, he says, lay aside every weight. Those are external things. You know, the athlete who's running a race, these days, they're dressed pretty skimpily, aren't they? I mean, if you've seen some of the Olympics in recent years and sporting events or whatever, they don't have much that they can lay aside. All right, I wouldn't be running a race dressed like this. And you know why? There would be things about it that would hinder me from being able to do my best. Okay? Well, that's what the scriptures are saying. That's all he's saying, is there are things in our life, and they're external things. There may be habits, there may be activities, there may be companions, there may be acquaintances, there may be things in our path each day. Whatever the case might be, there could be things that hinder us from running this race as best we could. And he is exhorting us to examine ourselves and see how we could clear the path and how we could prepare ourselves in a better way to honor that one that loved us and gave himself for us. I've had such a burden in these last few years to exhort God's people to look like a child of God. Wherever you are, in public, at work, wherever. Now, I understand that in the workplace, there's limitations on what you need to do, but you can still live and act and make choices and show that you are a child of God. Because let me tell you something. If you're following this, you're going to appear different from a lot of people in this world. And a lot of people don't care for this. All right? But our choices in life and our activities and our words should show that we love God and we follow his word. All right. So the first thing he says, lay aside every weight. That's those external things that affect the way we can run. All right, then he says, and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now he's talking about internal things. Our thought life, our affections, our heart. Those kinds of things sometimes hinder us from running as best as we could. And so, like Paul said to the Corinthian brethren, 2 Corinthians, I think it is, 13, I believe it is, examine yourselves, see whether you're in the faith. So we need to look inwardly sometimes and see if there are also hindrances there that keep us from running this race the way we should. All right? I think I've spent enough time on that. Let's lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, we understand, we've got the mental image of somebody running a race. But let's translate that into the Christian life. What activities constitute running this race? I suspect there's some of us, I'll include myself in that, that's probably not too interested in running a race. We probably wouldn't feel like that we're very competitive if we were to run a race. But what he's talking about here is following Jesus. In living our life, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, as he says in Philippians. All right, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Living our life in such a way that brings glory to his name. Now listen. Let us run this race with patience. One more word about what we've already said. The preparation needs to be done early. You know, I like to pray, and I think a lot of people enjoy early morning praying. Even if it's just when you wake up and you got a few moments before you get out of bed, even if you cast your thoughts to the Lord and thank him for the blessings of another night and ask him for his blessings for the new day, that sets your heart and sets your affections where it needs to be. Okay? All right? So let us run with this race with patience, run with patience the race that is set before us. What is set before us is the way of faith. What Jesus has taught us, what the apostles have taught us, what the Word of God has told us, how we should be living our life, that's the Christian race. That's the marathon that's before us. Okay? So when Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. That's another way of describing this Christian race. Okay? And there's some preparation, right? He didn't start by saying, take up your cross and follow me. He gave us some preparation for the mind and the heart so that we can run in a better way. All right? Run this race with patience. The race that is set before us. Now it says, looking unto Jesus. So that's what keeps us oriented to this word. A central focus upon serving the Lord. Whatever we're doing that day, however we're pursuing what we need to do, doing it in a Christian way, with a Christian attitude, with a thankful heart, with a view toward the Lord and his teachings, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the originator. He is the one who lived it perfectly before us. He is the embodiment of faith. Okay? The author and finisher. That word finisher has the idea of having the ability to bring it to completion. See, we are kept by faith. Peter talks about how that we're kept. Jude says we're preserved. Okay? All right, so in Christ, we are kept. Before God, because of Christ, if we're in Christ, then we are before him. In Christ, we are before him holy and just. Isn't that amazing? That we are holy and just before God in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness and our redemption and our wisdom. Let's see, he's our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, and redemption, Paul said to the Corinthian church. He's everything to us, isn't he? So why wouldn't we look to him every day? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And then it says a little bit more about what he did. Who for the joy that was set before him. What was that? Well, he knew what it was like to be with the Father in heaven before he had a body of flesh. The Bible tells us that. John chapter 17, Jesus said, restore to me let me get that. John 17, let me read a little bit here. I want to make sure I get it right. I'm trying to be too hasty here. Verse 5, John 17, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory, listen, which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus enjoyed the glory that he had with the Father before the world was. Don't you know that after he came down to this earth and did all the things that he had to do and the suffering and enduring the wrath of Almighty God for the sins of all of his people, don't you know that he was looking forward to being back in heaven at the right hand of the Father, enjoying the blessings of that forevermore? For the joy that was set before him, because he knew that once he finished the work the Father sent him to do, he would be received back into heaven, and that joy would be restored. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And we cannot fathom the depths of the suffering that Jesus endured for us.
That's right.
We might get a grasp, somewhat of a grasp, if you've ever experienced a terrible situation like that. You might get some kind of a grasp of what those soldiers inflicted upon him. And by the way, those weren't weaklings that were just cracking a few whips. These were warriors. These were seasoned warriors of Herod who beat him with those cat o' nine tails. All right? So even the physical suffering that he had to endure was tremendous. And yet, when God turned out the lights and wouldn't even let man witness what happened to him during those hours of darkness when the Father poured out his wrath upon Jesus for the sins of his people, God wouldn't even allow men to see it. But it had to be tremendous. It had to be tremendous. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And there was a lot of shame there. I mean, they were the Jewish officials that were just railing upon him and spitting on at his face and all the things that they said and did. Pilate washed his hands, had an inscription set above him. Jesus, this is Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is stated differently in the three accounts of it. The King of the Jews. Do you know neither Pilate nor those chief priests believed that? Now, maybe Pilate. I mean, there's some indications that he knew there was something special going on here. But I don't know how much he understood. But it's commonly thought that when he put that up there, it was because of envy that he had. And he knew that it would infuriate the Jewish people for him to put that up there. But you can see the providence of God, can't you? You can see that through, you know, just like he says in Acts chapter 2, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands and crucified and slain. That superscription accurately showed this was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. So over the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. When they stripped him of his garments, when they nailed him to the cross, when they did all manner of despicable things to him, sentenced to be crucified, which was for the worst of criminals, there couldn't have been a better person upon that cross. I know he's verily man and verily God, but as verily man, he was sinless. He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. And they delivered him to be crucified. The most humiliating death that could be given. Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down. That could have said that he sat down, but no, set means he's in his proper place. That is his place at the right hand of the Father. He's sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's there today. He's there, Romans 8 says he's there to make intercession for us. He's interceding. He's pleading his case to the Father. He's the one that suffered and died for us. We don't have a case that we can plead to God. But we can plead the blood of Jesus for the cleansing of our sins. I'm talking about our conscience, to clear our conscience. We know that Jesus put away all of our sins, but we continue to sin, and so we need our conscience purged on a regular basis. All right? So, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I want to spend a few minutes. I want to go back to the point of running our race with patience. Let me ask you a question. Could Lainey and Aria run this race the same as some of the rest of us? It's the same race. But as a child, we wouldn't know a lot of the things that we know as adults. Now, I'm not saying that children can't have the Spirit of God in them. Certainly they can. And certainly they can please God. We find that John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. Okay? I mean, it's an everyday thing for a child to kick in its mother's womb. But the Bible says specifically that John the Baptist leapt for joy in his mother's womb. All right? When he heard Mary coming in. All right, so what we find then is the way we run this race depends upon our maturity, depends upon our understanding. It depends upon opportunities. It just depends upon a lot of things. All right? So, thankfully, thank the Lord that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. Right?
Right.
We're going to get there. Paul taught Timothy that there were some that had made shipwreck of their faith. But if they're children of God, they're going to get there. Because Jesus is the author and finisher of it. I could say hallelujah to that. Because he is the one in whom we have our sanctification, our redemption, our wisdom, and all of those things, all right? So, this passage said, let us run this race with patience. When it says, let us, that is an admonition. That is an exhortation. That is informing us, this is what we should do. We may or may not. Some days we may do a good job of it. Some days we may not. And so the admonition, the exhortation is there that we should remember these things. If we keep these things in memory and desire to please God, then it will encourage us to run this race the way we should. Some days we don't run that race like we should, to our shame. Okay? Because he's worthy that we should run this race the best we can every day we live. He's worthy of it. All right? So running this race. So for a little child, how would they run this race? You know, there's a lot of things they don't understand. But guess what? God has given us parents. God has given us this great cloud of witnesses to be a helper to us. When we're young, when we don't know what we should do, God has given us, and especially he's given us the church, and he's given us his word, and he's given us people in our lives to be a helper to us, to teach us and to provide good examples to us, to help us to know which way we should go. What a blessing that is. And then as we grow, then we're able to do more. Then we're able to know something about how we should be forgiving of one another and how we should be kind to others and how we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He puts us there. If we're in grace, then let's grow in it. And the more we run this race the way we should, the more we show that we are growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right? So, you know, even a little child, when it's submissive to its parents, is showing. You know, that's pleasing to the Lord. And so that's why parents are to train up their children. It's not going to happen automatically, is it? You know, Isaiah told us that 700 years before Jesus was born, he said, cease from your evil ways and learn to do well. This old nature of ours, it's just going to pop out. If all you do is just let things happen, it's going to pop out. But we have to learn to do well. And so when we learn the principles of the scripture, then we learn how we're to run this race with patience. All right? As we get to adulthood, hopefully we've learned some things. Hopefully we're able to apply more of the scriptures in a way that shows that we have understanding of the word. We're able to make good choices. We're able to have good judgment because it's guided by the word of God. See, that's God's will for us, that we sanctify ourselves for the world and that we try our best to do what's pleasing unto him. And so we should be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And the primary way we do that is reading his word on a regular basis. I have never known anybody that I felt like was growing in grace that did not regularly expose themselves to the word of God. Okay? It's just that important. It's our daily bread. We might be 90 years old, but we still need it. All right? Okay. So as we get to... How about seniors? You know, I guess I'm there. That definition, you know, you mostly think about 65, or some places think about 60 or whatever. I guess I'm there. I don't feel like it, but I guess I'm there. But you know, we should still be running the race every day. But it may not be exactly like we did in our younger years. But it should still center around prayer, growing in our understanding of the word, thinking about what God has done for us and thanking him for his mercies and his grace. A person that's very limited in what they can do, and yet they're thankful, they're praying, they're reading the word, they're looking to the Lord for what they stand in need of, they are running that race in a wonderful way. Right? That's what it takes. Different shapes and it looks differently at different ages, but it's the same race, the same goal. Okay? The goal is the prize of the high calling that is pleasing the Lord in whatever we do each day. And if we come to the place in life where we're bedridden and can't do anything, you know, outside of your bed. If we got to that place, there's still prayer. There's still the word of God. If we've got our faculties about it, there's still prayer. There's still the word of God. There's still encouraging that a person could do. There's still plenty that could be done in the kingdom of God, even if we were very limited in our activity. I think so often of Aunt Cumai. I know a lot of you remember Aunt Cumai, and a lot of you knew her a whole lot better than I did. But I guess what the last 14 years of her life was in somewhere in that range, she was bedridden. She told me one time when she was, I think she was about 99, she might have been 100 at the time. But she told me, she said, if I'd have known I'd have lived this long, I wouldn't have taken to the bed so soon. That was her attitude. In her mind, she could still do things. And she did have a sharp mind pretty much right up to the end. Boy, she knew all those grandkids' birthdays and great-grandkids' birthdays and all those kinds of things. That was important to her. But the Lord was important to her, too. And she was just a loving, gracious, thankful. I know she prayed a lot. What I'm saying is, again, is that this race doesn't look the same for everybody. But it does have elements of prayer and meditation and thanksgiving and regular exposure to the Word of God and a desire to please God in whatever we can do. And God never requires anything more than we can do. If there's something that He would be pleased for us to do, He will make a way for us to be able to do it. God is good and holy and right and just, and He'll never require of us more than what we can do. But we could do a lot more that pleases Him than we do. And so as we look at this passage, as we look at what he says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I've talked a lot about running the race, but he says with patience. Oh man, patience. That's a tough subject, isn't it? I mean, patience sounds like waiting. We don't want to wait on anything. But we have to. And there's times and even blessings in waiting on the Lord. Because we're exercised. Because we're conditioned. Because we realize that in all that we ask of the Lord, we should always say, not my will, but thine be done. And that, if you look closely, that is in so much of the commandments. Because even what we quoted earlier from Matthew 16, where he says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Oh, there it is. Right there at the beginning of the list. Deny himself, which means not my will, but thine be done. Doesn't mean you can't have anything. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy things in life. It just simply means that we always need to be submissive to the will of God first and foremost. And then ask, if it be your will, that we can do thus and so. Okay? So, with patience. Jesus told his apostles, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Okay? In patience. You know, we have an expression in our language, in our day, in our language, about, you know, flying off the handle. That's somebody that's not patient. Maybe they've been patient for a while, but they got to their breaking point and they're flying off the handle, you know. All right? Well, you're not possessing your soul when you do that. You've lost control when you do that. And so, being patient, Lord, help me, give me strength. Help me to see what I need to do. We need that a lot. We need it a lot more than we ask for. Right? So patience is so important. All right? We need it. Jesus said, in your patience possess you your souls. In other words, you're going to do your best. You're going to serve the Lord best. You're going to be able to follow and apply the Word of God the best in your patience, which means you're trusting and depending upon the Lord for what you need in your patience. All right, so he said, let us run this race with patience. So there's some things I've studied for years, and I still don't quite grasp from the Word of God. How about you? You know, I get over there in Ezekiel, and in the first, most of the first part of Ezekiel, you know, you can pretty well find some other history that supports what he's talking about. But when you get all that symbolism toward the end, I just don't know what he's talking about. And I would so much love to be able to get a better grasp of that. But I'll just patiently continue to study the Word of God. And somewhere there's going to be a puzzle piece that fits over there. So I just have to patiently endure. As Isaiah told us, line upon line, line upon line. You know, and I've said this several times, but reading that passage where Isaiah says that, it's boring before you even get through it. Line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. But it is an accurate description of how we in life learn the things of God. We live in a day where we wish we could turn over to chapter 5 somewhere and it's got a list. Number 1, number 2, number 3. We want a list like that. This is how we can run this race with patience. But God hasn't given us that. What he's given us is his word, which is good for all of us. And the Holy Spirit can lead and guide us to that part that we need, or in whatever we're reading, the Holy Spirit can bring to our understanding how it applies to our specific situation. That doesn't happen in preaching. We don't know all the applications. We don't know everything that everybody needs, but we can preach the word and the Spirit can take it and apply it to your situation, specifically how you need it at that point in time. And sometimes life's events, when they change, then something that we needed one time, maybe we need a different aspect of that later. God's word is so deep, it is so rich. That's why we are to continue to read the word of God on a daily basis and let the Spirit emphasize to us what it is we need that day. All right? So he said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. That's what it's all about. Looking to him for instruction. Looking to his word. You know, he's the word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. He perfectly embodied this word when he was here. He's the author and finisher of it. And so as we think about what he gives us in this passage that we are to continue in, running this race with patience, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, then in every stage of our life, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in, let's run this race with patience, looking to him, asking the Lord what we need, submitting to his will. Lord, thy will be done, not my will, but thine be done. And didn't Jesus give us the perfect example of that in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he knew what was ahead of him, when he knew the suffering that was ahead of him, when he knew that's what he came to this earth to do, was to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. When he knew that was right there, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so he gave us that perfect example of submitting himself to the Father's will and running this race with patience. May God help us. Whatever season of life we're in, whether we're young or old, whatever challenges we might have, nothing's going to surprise God. We can't acquaint him with anything in our prayers, so we can look to him, we can pray to him, we can ask for the help that we need, and he is well able to supply our need and to help us to run this race with patience. May God bless you is our prayer.